We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined by my co-host, Drew Johnson. Wish we were recording this under better circumstances, but the Mavs came out in game one against the Clippers. All the hype, all the talk about the roster being so much better than it was the last time these two teams got together. Kawhi Leonard didn't play because of knee inflammation. The Mavs had over a week and a half. They're fully healthy, fully recharged, you know, no nagging injuries for anybody. And they came out and had a complete dud in game one. At one point, I can't even properly contextualize how bad it was. It was, for lack of words that I can't think of, the only way I can describe it is a shit show. That's what this was. This was awful. Absolutely awful, especially in the first half. Now, in the second half, you know, the Mavs showed some life. They battled back. But in the first half, they started off lack of energy, couldn't hit the broad side of a barn if they tried to. You know, what was the expression? You know, they could have fallen out of a boat and not hit water. That's how bad it was for the Mavs to start this game. And after they started out being down 34-22 after the first quarter, it's like, okay, well, you know, they're going to pick it up. You know, they got shell-shocked in that first quarter, and, you know, they'll be better before we get to halftime. No. The Mavs proceeded to score 8 points, 8 total points in the second quarter alone. They were down 56-30 at halftime. They were down by 29 at one point, was the biggest deficit in the game, and they ultimately lost this one 109-97. And you see that final score, and it's like, oh, well, you know, they picked things up. And they did. They won both the third and the fourth quarter. They won the fourth quarter by 11 points. But it just didn't matter because they built themselves such a crazy hole to try and dig out of. So there are a lot of things that I want to talk about. But before I go on my rant, since I start these things off ranting after we do our normal intro stuff, I want to talk to you, DJ. What was your biggest initial takeaway from this game one? Because obviously you don't want to overreact to one game, but it was pretty bad. So what you thinking?
Well, I'll start off by saying this. In the first half, specifically, you know, the second quarter, honestly, this could apply to the whole first half. You had horrible shot selection, specifically by your star players. Whenever you are in any sort of deficit, whether it be double digit, single digit, whatever, the way that you typically claw your way back into a game is A, getting high percentage looks and converting, but working for those high percentage looks, B, getting stops on the other end, and C, executing on the glass, which can be, you know, grouped into the whole stop category. But you have to play defense that's capable of getting a stop, and then you got to get the defensive rebound. And, you know, defensively in the first half, we weren't just amazing, but we weren't terrible. But it didn't matter because we were so freaking awful offensively. I mean, Luka didn't score a point in the second quarter. We made 9 total field goals in the first half. In all, 9 total field goals.
It's crazy.
It's the worst shooting performance I've ever seen. And it's not that we weren't making shots. It's the fact that the quality of shots we were getting was abysmal. And we could, you know, there's a couple of places we can, you know, enlist the blame. First of all, kid needs better play call. We need something going to the rim in these moments. We don't need ISOs. We don't need high pick and roll actions. We need something going to the rim. We need to be able to stick Lucas 6'7", 250-pound ass in the freaking paint so that he can get some easy looks, because this ISO shit isn't cutting it.
Yeah.
Next. And this also goes on with, you know, no offensive rhythm, very stagnant due to set choice, ISO, high pick and roll. I've got this whole thing written out. Energy levels were completely different. And I think the issue with that is they came out, they hit us in the mouth in the first quarter, and we just couldn't recover. And that was evident in our body language. And that's when kid has to take a timeout and chew some ass. I'm just going to be honest. That's what it takes. You need to challenge people's manhood. And you need to get in some people's asses about it.
Well, and you got to do more off-ball stuff too. If the Clippers are going to play as aggressive as they did in denying the ball, you know, especially with Kyrie Irving, they denied Kyrie hard in that first half. You got to get something going off-ball. Set some off-ball screens, you know, multiple screens if you have to. Do whatever you have to do to, you know, alleviate some pressure, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't let them get up in your grill for an entire 48 minutes and just accept, okay, well, I guess since they're not switching and they're fighting over the screens so hard, you know, we're just going to keep playing this ISO ball. That's what they want you to do. That's what Ty Lue has done in the previous Mavs Clippers series.
We rely way too much on Luka and Kyrie's ability to score in ISO that we don't understand that we could have way more efficient offensive production if we would just have some off-ball movement. And that there's none of that. I mean, there was none of that for the whole game. There was no off-ball movement. You got people just standing around on the perimeter, spacing out, waiting for someone to pass them the ball out. And a lot of times Luka would get deep in that lane and he'd kick it out to someone who was allegedly open and they'd pick him off. We have to have off-ball motion. Otherwise, you're way too easy to guard. People can sit and help all day long in the same position until someone decides to penetrate. Then they either collapse or they poach. And whenever they poach, it's an easy turnover going the other way. So we've got to have some better offensive design here. Otherwise, our offense becomes very predictable, and as you see, it leads to a ton of turnovers, a lot of bad shots, a lot of forced shots, and that just can't happen in the playoffs. It can't.
Yeah, and I mean, coming into this series, you know, one of the big talking points, one of the big narratives was, you know, well, Luka finally has a legitimate co-star by him, and that's something he didn't have in the previous two meetings, you know, when the Mavs and Clippers played. And that's true. And, you know, if people didn't watch this game and we came on here and said Luka and Kyrie combined for 64 points and the Mavs outscored the Clippers by 14 points in the second half, you would think, oh, cool, the Mavs won the game. But it was just that abysmal start in the first half, and specifically in the second quarter, like where it just – you thought the first quarter was bad, and I legitimately was sitting there thinking, well, it can't get much worse than that because they were just lacking so much energy. And then lo and behold, they came out and hit another low. So I don't expect that to happen again. I mean, obviously some adjustments were made and the Mavs played a lot better in that second half. And I hope that carries over into game two, but now it's like, okay, well, you know, what if Kawhi Leonard is ready to go by game two, which he might not be. You know, they might decide not to rush him back from that knee inflammation now that they've essentially stolen a game with him out. But, you know, overall, I just hope that that second half that the Mavs had can carry over into game two. As long as you can steal one on the road and get home court going back to Dallas for games three and four, I think you're in pretty solid position. So they can't afford to go down 0-2 coming back to Dallas, especially if the Clippers are, you know, patient with Kawhi and they give him a, you know, 3-4 more days of rest before they end up rolling him out there too. And then it's like, oof. So, yeah,
they don't have to play him now. They don't have to. They don't have to play him next game. They can give him that extra day's rest because they, like you said, they essentially stole this first game with just having to use Harden and PG. And that's it. Now, granted, give Harden some props. I mean, he played better today than he has. I mean, he showed more energy today. I guess that's the better terminology. He showed better energy today than he has since his early Houston days. I mean, granted, shots were falling, and it's easy to be energetic whenever you're making everything that you shoot up there. But, you know, the other unfortunate thing that we have to address is, we outscored them by 14 points in the second half. But in that third quarter, while we were actually, you know, generating some offense, we could not get a stop to save our life. We only dug in about three, I think it was 3 points. We only made a 3-point dent and a 26-point deficit. After all that scoring, after all that offensive hoopla, because we were so bad defensively in that third quarter. Now, it's clear where the focus was. It was the focus was offensive. I will say that. But we have to put together a complete game if we're going to actually, you know, win this series.
And look, I agree with that 100%. I think my biggest thing is, like, what do you do if Zubac is going to come out there and score 20 and grab 15 rebounds every game? Because that's the biggest thing. You know, when it comes to James Harden and Paul George and even Russell Westbrook, who hit a couple threes in this game, you know, some of these shots, well, Westbrook was wide open for a good, you know, for a good reason. He's not a good 3-point shooter.
That was by design.
You live with that if he hits
it.
But, you know, with Paul George and James Harden, I thought P.J. Washington did an excellent job on both of them when he was switched onto him, especially Paul George. But Paul George just hit some insane shots. And then when you go and look at the box score, it's like Paul George, he only had 22 points and he shot 4 of 12 from 3. So, I mean, P.J. did his job there. Derrick Jones Jr. played pretty solid defensively, you know. But when you're playing up against a team – with the overall playoff experience that this Clippers roster has, and you have a tactician like Ty Lue at the helm, you know, he knows how to pick you apart and everything. You can't afford to have these little lapses. You have to play a full 24 seconds. And the Mavs did that, you know, in the second half on a handful of occasions where they forced shot clock violations. And I kept thinking, you know, if the Clippers are going to hit tough shots like we've seen, that's going to be how you're going to have to defend every time down. You cannot let up at all. And, you know, it's just it worries me a little bit that even with the Mavs having Kyrie now, the strategy of let Luka score as much as he wants or try to score as much as he wants and wear him out, you know, bringing Kyrie and then upgrading the roster, that was supposed to change that a little bit. Well, now it seems like it's okay. Well, we'll just let Luka and Kyrie score as much as they want, wear themselves out, and, you know, see what the other guys can do. Because Luka had 33, Kyrie had 31, the rest of the entire team had 33 points.
Yep.
For the entire team. That's not going to cut it. So,
well, you know, those players were non-existent. I hate to say it because I love Lively and I love Gafford. I do. I love them with all my heart, but they were non-existent today. They got punked by Zubac. They did.
Now, look, Gafford got in early foul trouble. And then when he came back, you know, he kind of, I don't know if it was an ankle injury or what it was. He ended up coming back, you know, or it looked like he was available. But, you know, in 14 minutes, for Gafford to have 0 rebounds, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that happens. Now, Lively, you know, he was, let's see, he was 1 of 3 from the field. He had 4 rebounds and 3 points, but he was a negative 19 for the game, which was worse by anybody on the roster. So, you know, we can't have that. I mean, the Mavs, and we talked about this, you and I talked about this before the series started, you know, if the Clippers are able to make it to where Gafford and Lively aren't effective, Kidd is going to have to go small, and he's going to have to just commit to it. Now, Kleba, he did not shoot the ball well. He was 1 of 5 overall. He ended up having overall a positive impact on the game. But, you know, I think you have to do what we talked about before. You've got to put P.J. Washington at the five. And if that means and look, if that means Kidd cutting his rotation down to 7 players, you know, in order to keep Tim Hardaway Jr. from having to play much, I think you have to do it. But one thing, and we'll talk about this, I'll get your thoughts on it, but one takeaway from this game that I think was pretty apparent, and it's not shocking. We knew this kind of coming into the series. We talked about it. But if you have to go small, you want to play Josh Green instead of Tim Hardaway Jr. I don't think Tim Hardaway Jr. can play in this series. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I mean, I don't see how he's going to help you against this particular Clippers team or in playoff basketball in general. He just – his skill set is not meant for the postseason, in my opinion. And they put Josh Green in there. And he – look, Josh Green only played 9 minutes in this game. He did not – make a field goal, but he got to the free throw line 4 times. He had 4 rebounds. He had 3. Wait, hold on. No, I was reading that off wrong. He did have the 4 free throws, but he had a rebound, an assist, 2 steals, and a block in 9 minutes. And he was a plus 11 in those 9 minutes. I think, you know, that's a big takeaway for me. Got to have more Josh Green, and you can't have Tim Hardaway Jr. playing for the rest of the series and just see how it goes. Because Tim Hardaway Jr., at least if Josh Green isn't hitting shots, we know he can do other stuff.
Yeah.
He's got a high motor. You know, he's pretty smart. He can get steals, and he can get out on the fast break and finish or get fouled. When Tim Hardaway Jr. gets out on the fast break, he ends up fumbling the ball off of himself and turning it over. I mean, he just – That is the easiest adjustment that Jason Kidd can make going into game 2. And I just hope that this loyalty that he seems to have for THJ doesn't mess up the Mavs getting out of this first round series. And I'm not saying it's going to be all on that, but you know, you have to dot all your I's and cross all your T's when it comes playoff time. You can't mess around with stuff like that. And Kidd needs to make that adjustment and stick with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the unfortunate thing about THJ is whenever he's not hitting shots, he's a defensive liability. And really, he's just a liability in terms of handling the basketball. The guy is one thing and one thing only, and that's a shooter and a scorer. And whenever he's not doing that, he's not giving you anything, unfortunately. I like the idea of, you know, transferring those minutes to Green. For the simple fact that Green is going to give us more on the defensive end and more on the glass. I think that Green matches up better than THJ does right now. And honestly, I felt like that Green earned an opportunity today just based off the energy that he brought, you know, at the very end of that game. I think we get him out there and we see what he's capable of. Cause right now we just don't know. And honestly, at this point, what do we have to lose? Let's see what we can do.
Look, and we're in a group chat with a bunch of other people that, you know, talk about Mav stuff daily. And at one point during the game, when we were talking about Mavs going small, there was one comment that was just like, well, I mean, I just going small means playing THJ more. I don't think that's true. Nope. Because Tim Hardaway Jr. played 16 minutes in this game. Josh Green played 9 minutes in this game. So why can't Josh Green just play 20 what?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
25 minutes. why can't Josh Green
that way? I mean, we can still allocate those minutes differently. But
yeah, I agree. Look, you Dante Exum played 16 minutes. You could give him a couple of those minutes.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job today. You know, it's just what really killed us today was that slow start. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was Zubats just going absolutely nuts down low. And that's at the core of it all, that's really what killed us today. And if we do decide to go small, which I think is the right move, we're going to, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but we're going to have to figure out how we're going to guard Zubats. We're going to have to take that away somehow.
And I think the Mavs were shell-shocked by that. I think coming into this series, and I mean, honestly, I thought it too. I mean, I thought, okay, Gafford, with the way he's played since, you know, the trade deadline, you know, he would be able to at least keep Zubac from, you know, getting a 2015 double-double. But it was very apparent early on that he was going to be a problem for both Gafford. Now, Lively, I think Lively played him a little bit better at times, but, you know, Gafford and Lively together, it was just a very disappointing playoff, Mavs playoff debut for them. So we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, you know, Luka and Kyrie, they're going to do their thing. I don't think Luka's going to come back in game two and shoot 11 for 26. I think he's going to, you know, kind of reel it in a little bit with the three. He shot 4 of 12 from three. He got trigger happy with those threes, and it was apparent from the start of the game that, you know, they were just going to let him ISO, and he took it. He took the bait. And I think when those first couple of shots don't fall, and you mentioned this in that chat we're in too, when those first couple of shots don't fall, get your ass in the paint. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he can do – I mean, nobody can guard Luka in the paint. And if you force – that's how you can force a double, you know, because you're not going to – Luka's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. He's shown that, you know, even on centers, you know, he can back down centers into the paint and force a double team. And then if you do that, then he can pass out of it, and maybe you create more of a flow within your offense. But just settling for the ISO threes, you know, that's when you're on a heater, that's one thing. But when you've missed several in a row, it's like, okay, you got to do something different.
We don't need to be heat checking whenever we're ice cold. But I will say this, you know, whenever he would drive and get to the lane, and he would oftentimes pass out, I'm not sure that what he was seeing was different from what we were seeing. And what I mean by that is I think the Clippers, specifically their interior players, did a really good job of stunning and showing a double that wasn't there. Yep. And, you know, that's just a really good job defensively. But the fact of the matter is Luka has to be able to see past that. And Luka really just needs to be more aggressive, taking it to the rim and maybe just saying F it and finishing over two people, because he's more than capable of doing it. The reality is, you know, Luka, you know, it could be argued that maybe Kyrie is in this conversation too, but Luka is the most offensively effective player on the roster. Everything's got to go through him, and he's got to be more aggressive. He's got to realize that, and he's got to be more aggressive, I think.
Well, and I mean, look, you got to tip your hat to Jason Kidd for having two 50-win seasons in 3 years. And then in his first year, they made it to the Western Conference Finals. But, you know, coming into this game, it was very apparent which team was more prepared, which team knew how physical they were going to have to be and what energy level was required to win in the playoffs. And the Mavs, they didn't look like that. They looked like they were just – they felt like they were just going to, you know, waddle into crypto.com arena and get an easy win and head back for game two. And, you know, it just didn't work out that way. And, you know, as good as Kidd has been at times this season since the trade deadline, you know, I feel like that was on him, because Ty Lue had his guys ready and Kidd did not. And by the time the adjustments were made, it was too late. It was too big of a mountain to climb up. So, you know, hopefully that changes going into game two. And to get, you know, it's not all doom and gloom around here. I mean, Kidd has never won a game one as coach of the Mavs. So, this is on par. You know, something happens, he usually goes back, makes an adjustment, and, you know, we'll see how it goes going into game two. You know, that epic Sun series in 2022 before the Western Conference Finals, Mavs lost both games in Phoenix and still ended up winning in a 7-game series. So, you know, when you have Luka, you're never really out of it, but they definitely have to clean up some stuff, because that was that first half made my eyes bleed. Yeah. Like I would have rather, as one of my coworkers at DallasBasketball.com put it, I would rather have a colonoscopy than rewatch that first half. it was that bad. So, but you know. We'll see how it goes. We're not going to harp too much on it. It was, you know, very deflating, but there are some good things to take away from it, because, you know, especially in that second half, I think they figured out how they can attack the Clippers defense and, you know, while also being effective on the defensive end themselves, you know, by just plugging in Josh Green and going a little bit smaller. And, you know, maybe by making that adjustment, it'll force Ty Lue to overcorrect in that direction, and then you can bring back Gafford and Lively and have that punch again too. But, you know, if they're going to play like they did today, then, you know, you got to go small and just see what happens. So,
and, you know, I'm not necessarily sure that you really give up on Gafford and Lively in this series. You know, there is also that off chance that, you know, maybe they were just shocked by the level of physicality, because neither of these guys have been in that situation before. I mean, Gafford came from Washington. There was no competitive basketball happening over there. Let's be real. Lively came from Duke, and, you know, that's super hyper competitive, but it's still college basketball. It's not the NBA. He was not going up against grown men every single night, let alone the elite big men every single night. So, you know, they may have just needed a little bit of an adjustment period. At least that's what I hope. Because,
well, Zubac, and look, we got to tip our hat to Zubac too. Because,
yeah,
you know, just I know what Luka has done to him in the past in playoff series, but this season specifically, he's been awesome for the Clippers. He's like the top. He's near the top, or maybe he's at the top, you know, as far as opponents' field goal percentage in the restricted area against him. So I mean, this isn't like something that you know, his defense, at least, this isn't something surprising for this season. Now, the 20 points, 15 rebounds, I certainly wasn't expecting that. But, you know, he's been solid. And look, as much as we've talked about, and a lot of people have had the narrative of, well, Luka's finally going to get his revenge in this series, you know, maybe Zubac is trying to look at it from his perspective. Like, maybe he needs to get a little revenge because he has been individually cooked as much as he has been for the last several years by Luka. And then you also have the narrative of, you know, James Harden, Brian Damaris, who does some, it's not play-by-play, but he's like on the Mavs pre- and post-game shows. You know, early in the season, he made this really long rant about James Harden and how he was the problem. And it was when the Clippers had started out after the Harden trade. I think they were like 1-6 yep. or 1-7, something crazy like that. And then Damaris decided he was just going to unload the clip on James Harden on a post game or a halftime show. And, you know, that clip ended up being deleted by Bally Sports, but it has lived on social media since then. And, you know, in the first half, I was thinking, you know what? It looks like James Harden's playing with an extra chip on his shoulder in this game. I wonder what that could be about.
Yeah, really. No, but he played, seriously, he played with more energy today than I've seen in a long time. He must have skipped the strip club last night. He must not have done any of that last night. He must have been locked in, went to bed at 8 p.m. sharp because he was ready to go today.
He was great. He was great. He had a – now, look, he got a little winded in the second half, and it tapered off for him, but he had like 20 points, I believe, in the first half alone, finished with 28 points, 8 assists, had a couple steals, only one turnover. I mean, he was solid. That was – I agree. That was some of the best – playoff basketball I've seen from James Harden since his Houston days. It was good stuff from him. But, you know, again, I hope the adjustments the Mavs make, you know, carry over into game two, because there's some easy ones that can be made, and I think they will make them. And as long as you just don't have, like, even as bad as the Mavs were to start out this game, as long as you are just moderately competitive in the second quarter, I think the Mavs might still end up winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just so bad in that second quarter, it just put it way out of reach. And, you know, you just have to wash it and move on to the next one. But DJ, anything else before we take off here? Because I think we've pretty much covered everything.
Well, I mean, a few keys for next game. Number one, we can't settle. We cannot settle. Get to the rim, get easy looks, build a lead. Then we can start jacking threes, all right? Number two, we've got to figure this situation out defensively, whether that's going small or whatever. But if we do go small, we have to figure out how to defend the post. Those are my two big keys. Don't settle on offense and figure out how to deal with the post on defense, because James is going to get his, Paul is going to get his, Zubac cannot get his. Otherwise, we're in trouble. And well, I hope to God that Kawhi doesn't come back between now and then.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, because Kawhi hasn't played a basketball game in like 3 weeks now, maybe Kawhi coming back, you know, puts a little snag in the momentum the Clippers have kind of put together here recently, because it's not like they played horrible to close the season without him. Yep. You know, they were fine. So, you know, maybe Kawhi coming back with a swollen knee kind of throws a wrench into their flow a little bit. So, you know, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing, but we know what Kawhi Leonard can do if he is healthy. And I think my biggest thing going into game two, DJ, is they just need to show some pride. Like, that's what got me about this game, especially early. You know, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Paul George, you know, all that, Terrence Mann, like all these guys, like they were just kicking the Mavs' ass, and they were letting them know about it too. It wasn't just like, you know, they were hitting some shots and just running back down on it. No, they were letting the Mavs know about it, especially Westbrook. Westbrook, he, you know, like fake tough guy energy from him a lot of times, but, you know, it gets the crowd jacked up, and he was talking a lot, and, you know, I just want the Mavs to show more pride in those situations. Like, okay, you're going to try and punk us, well, here you go. We're going to come right back at you and not let it get out of hand. So that's what I'm looking at. You know, they've got all the talent in the world, in my opinion. They've shown what they can do when they're connected and they're consistent on the defensive end. I mean, you don't just luck into having the number one defense over the final 20 games of the season. So they just need to lock in, go into game two, hopefully steal one on the road. And then if you can come back to Dallas for games 3 and 4 in a tied series at 1-1, then, you know, you've got something going for you there. So we'll see how it goes. But, okay, guys, look, we appreciate y'all joining us for another episode. Wish that game had gone better than it had. But, you know, as I told DJ before we hopped on here, you know, this is kind of like a therapy session at the very least. if you have to cover a shit show, as I called it, you at least want to be able to vent properly about it, you know, and not just like vent like a crazy, you know, fan with no context or, you know, details about what can be better. But, you know, I think we did a good job of, you know, venting constructively.
That's what the group chat is for. That's where all the unreasonableness goes, is the group chat.
Yeah, that's where the stuff that goes that you don't put on the timeline. So, mm-hmm. Well, guys, look, I appreciate it. You can find myself on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dalton_Trigg. You can find my guy DJ at CoachDrew33. You can find the podcast at Step Back Mavs. And also be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Leave us a bunch of likes and comments and all that good stuff. It's playoff time. It's intense. Hopefully, you know, the Mavs get it turned around and, you know, this isn't just a 2-week thing with the first round. Hopefully we have a long playoff run ahead of us, because we love doing this, not just for us, but for you guys too. And we love talking about Mavs basketball, and hopefully that keeps going for another month or so. Guys, appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.